You are listening to Talk Geek to Me News number 57, recorded for Monday, January the 9th, 2012. You are listening to the Tech Only Hacker Public Radio Edition. To get the full podcast, including political commentary and other controversial topics, please visit www.talkgeektome.us. Here are the vital statistics for this program. Your feedback matters to me. Please send your comments to dg@deepgeek.us. The webpage for this program is at www.talkgeektome.us. You can subscribe to me on Identica as the username DeepGeek, or you could follow me on Twitter. My username there is DGTGTM, as in Deep Geek, Talk Geek to Me. I wanted to make a little statement at the beginning of this segment, because this episode marks me attempting to come back to an old home of mine, the place that spawned me as a podcaster, Hacker Public Radio. Now, Hacker Public Radio has an interesting genealogy. It all started with BinRev Radio, which was a hacker topic only and non-political podcast, and then that led into Today with a Techie, which was a multiple host tech only show, and that led into Hacker Public Radio. While it's not a rule of Hacker Public Radio to be non-political, there is a tradition that I, as an old-timer there, feel I have to respect. I've been asked to come back. There has been a revival. It went through podfading and came back under new administration, and it's been quite a successful revival, I might say. And I'm certainly welcome back, and even my political content has been said would be okay. But just in case there's a gulf between what the administration, what the listeners want, what I'm going to do, starting with this show, right after I record, is I'm going to hack my scripts and create a separate Hacker Public Radio tech-only edition. I won't be strictly tech-only, because sometimes, like, you know, if there's a news article about censoring the internet, that's going to fall into tech, and it's going to be about censorship. So, but as best I can. This should respect the tradition of Hacker Public Radio, and it does circumvent one other thing. Hacker Public Radio has a syndicated Thursday. Now, if I did just a show I released into my regular feed, that would be a syndicated show, and they have 52 slots. I do 36 of these a week. So I think by having a special Hacker Public Radio edition of Tech News, that I won't feel I'm competing and blocking out over half of their slots for syndicated content. So we're going to try this for a while, and I hope for feedback. You know my email address, my website address, my Twitter feed are all in the freaking vital statistics of the show. Contact me. Contact the HPR crew. Let's see if this can work out. So I'm excited about it. A warm feeling I have trying to return to the fold of Hacker Public Radio. And now, the Tech Roundup. From TorrentFreak.com, dated January 3rd, 2012, by Enigmax. Belarus bans browsing of all foreign websites. As citizens of the United States worry over the implications of the pending SOPA legislation, a small landlocked country on the fringes of Europe is showing how bad things can really get. Labeled by the United States as an outpost of tyranny, Belarus is certainly living up to its reputation. This Friday, browsing foreign websites will become an offense punishable by fines, with service providers taking responsibility for the actions of their users. While there are many reasons why people oppose the implementation of SOPA, a common thread is that any level of censorship will simply encourage yet more. The fear is that an inch will become a mile, and before long the internet will be a place of restrictions where innovation is stifled. Those pointing to China as an example of how bad things can get should now focus a little closer to the West, on the outskirts of Europe to be precise. From January 6, Belarus, which became independent in 1991 following the collapse of the Soviet Union, will begin severely restricting what its citizens can do on the Internet. New legislation requires that anyone doing business in the country may only utilize fully local Internet domains when carrying out their activities. As highlighted by the Law Library of Congress, this means that it will become illegal for locals to use a site such as Amazon.com, which has no official Belarusian presence. Indeed, browsing any website outside the country will be punishable with fines of up to $125. The initial decree, issued on February 2010 by President Alexander Lukashenko, requires the compulsory registration of all websites, which must then be hosted in the country. The potential damage to the Belarus economy and their growth from online trade will be significant. According to Alexa, some of the world's biggest sites are listed in the country's top 20 most visited list, including Google, YouTube, Twitter, and Wikipedia, all of which have .com domains and U.S. hosting. Indeed, only two sites in the Belarusian top 10 currently appear to be legal for local access. Additionally, the legislation will also hold internet providers, such as cafes providing Wi-Fi, responsible for the actions of their customers if they are found to be using foreign sites. The same responsibilities lie with home internet subscribers who share their connections with others. The suggestion is that such providers, commercial or domestic, will have to monitor for foreign website use and report the findings to authorities. The legislation also ensures there is plenty of data to hand over, as a minimum ISPs and web hosts will be required to record the names and passport details of customers, along with their domain names, a description of their site's activities, and IP addresses allocated. So for now, even Google's Belarusian variant, google.by, seems to fall outside the legal reach of citizens of Belarus, hosted as it is in the United States. Twitter, Facebook, and Wikipedia have further problems, since the .by variants of their domains have been registered by other entities. Interestingly, while Belarus National State Television has previously aired pirated movies, such as The Hurt Locker, they won't now be able to grab them from foreign torrent sites, as they did in the past. RuTracker, one of Russia's largest torrent sites, is Belarus's 20th most popular site. However, it too has a non.by domain and is hosted abroad, rendering it off-limits to locals. Torrents.by will be doing lots of business soon, though, hosted and registered in Belarus. From EFF.org, dated January 5, 2010, by Mayra Sutton, Thailand continues massive crackdown of online speech. In Thailand, details of the most recent victim of Le Majest laws emerged this week, adding to a long year of crackdowns on free speech in the country. Alongside the news coverage, Freedom Against Censorship in Thailand, FACT, published new analysis demonstrating the magnitude of measures the Southeast Asian state has taken to block websites it deems politically offensive. On Tuesday, Professor Somsak Jemtir Asakul, a historian and prominent critic of the Thai monarchy, posted updates on a university student who made comments on Facebook in March and April of 2010, according to political prisoners in Thailand. Royalists attacked the then 18-year-old student, Netarkon Sekelarakat, on the internet for criticizing the king and accused her of Le Majest, resulting in the university that she had planned to attend subsequently revoking her acceptance because of her lack of loyalty to the monarchy. For fear of being harassed, Netarkon did not show up to exams to apply for another university. While she ultimately was accepted to a school a year later, royalists had in the meantime gone to the police to lodge a complaint for her comments. In October 2011, she was charged under Le Majest laws. Her first appearance in court is scheduled for February 11, 2012. Unfortunately, the Thai government is taking other severe measures to censor its citizens as well. Despite the Thai foreign minister's admission in October that the government may have been misusing Le Majest in a way that inadvertently stifled free expression, FACT posted a blog summarizing the recent history of freewheeling internet censorship in the country. The organization analyzed published reports from Thailand's iLaw Foundation and other sources, including figures showing hundreds of thousands of sites blocked and billions of baht, equivalent to tens of millions of U.S. dollars, spent to block the offending pages. FACT claims that on December 28th alone, the MICT blocked 777,286 websites. As we've reported, Netarkon is only the most recent case emerging involving Le Majest charges. There is a continuing case of Prakatai editor Zhu, whose trial resumes February 14, 2012. and the case of an American blogger who recently was sentenced to 2.5 years to Thai prison for translating a biography of the king, and around the same time as the announcement that the Ministry of Information and Communication Technology, MICT, would begin monitoring comments and likes on Facebook, a 61-year-old truck driver was sentenced to 20 years for sending texts deemed offensive to the throne. The Thai government has also been found to successfully collect information from web hosting companies to help them identify bloggers' identities. EFF condemns the Thai government's ongoing efforts to silence political speech on the Internet. International awareness of the Thai government's legal abuses could help pressure the state to re-evaluate its draconian policies. We will be covering the trials of Zhu and Nathakon in February and will continue to monitor any developments in the MICT's war against free expression. From TorrentFreak.com, dated January 6, 2012, by Ernesto, BitTorrent releases new share application. BitTorrent Incorporated just released a new standalone file sharing application called Share. The application aims to make it easier for tech novices to share large files with friends without having to get familiar with all the BitTorrent customs and lingo. Share will eventually be integrated into BitTorrent's flagship client, uTorrent. BitTorrent Incorporated is mostly known for the development of the uTorrent and BitTorrent mainline clients, but today the company adds another piece of software to its arsenal. Dubbed Share, the new application is targeted at people who want to share large files with a private group of people, as opposed to uploading them via a public BitTorrent site for all the world to see. With the tagline, "No more storage limits, no more fees," it also takes a stab at increasingly popular cyber lockers. Although the software uses BitTorrent under the hood, people are not required to create torrent files. Instead, they can select files on their computer, pick a person or group to share them with, and the application takes care of the rest. According to BitTorrent's chief strategist, Shahi Ghanem, the new application fits perfectly into a world where media files grow larger and larger by the day. Quote, "With today's consumer cameras, video recorders producing stunning quality, traditional media sharing requires concessions. With Share, you don't have to crop photos, reduce resolutions, or cut video length to easily share something with your friends, family, and colleagues. It's much faster than traditional cloud solutions and easy for anyone," says Ghanem. To read the rest of this article, follow links at the show notes. From TorrentFreak.com, by Ernesto, dated January 4, 2012, file sharing recognized as official religion in Sweden. Since 2010, a group of self-confessed pirates have tried to get their beliefs recognized as an official religion in Sweden. After their request was denied several times, the Church of Copyism, which holds Control-C and Control-V as sacred symbols, is now approved by the authorities as an official religion. The church hopes that its official status will remove the legal stigma that surrounds file sharing. All around the world, file sharers are being chased by anti-piracy outfits and the authorities, and the situation in Sweden is no different. While copyright holders are often quick to label file sharers as pirates, there is a large group of people who actually consider copying to be a sacred act. Philosophy student Isaac Gerson is such a religious file sharer, and in an attempt to protect his unique belief system, he founded the Missionary Church of Copyism in 2010 in the hope that they could help prevent persecution for their beliefs. The church then filed a request to be officially accepted by the authorities. After two failed attempts, where the church was asked to formalize its way of praying or meditation, the authorities finally recognized the organization as an official religion. The church's founder is ecstatic about this news and hopes that it will motivate more people to come forward as copyists. "I think that more people will have the courage to step out as copyists, maybe not in the public, but at least to their close ones," Isaac tells Torrent Freak. "There's still a legal stigma around copying for many. A lot of people still worry about going to jail when copying and remixing. I hope in the name of Kopimi that this will change." Although the formal status of the church doesn't mean that copyright infringement is now permitted, the church's founder hopes that their beliefs will be considered in future lawmaking. During the last half year, the Missionary Church of Copimism tripled its members from 1,000 to 3,000, and it's expected that the recent news will cause another surge in followers, official member or not. Gerson encourages anyone with an internet connection to keep on sharing. We confessional Copimists have not only depended on each other in the struggle, but on everyone who is copying information. To everyone with an internet connection, keep copying. Maintain hardline Copimi, Gerson concludes. Prospective followers who embrace the same calling are of course welcome to join the movement, link included in the article, free of charge. And now for something completely different. From perspectives.mvdorona.com, DID 12-2012, ARM V8 Architecture, by James Hamilton. Years ago, Dave Patterson remarked that most server innovations were coming from the mobile device world. He's right. Commodity system innovation is driven by volume, and nowhere is there more volume than in the mobile device world. The power management techniques applied fairly successfully over the last 5 years had their genesis in the mobile world, and as processor power efficiency improves, memory is on track to become the biggest power consumer in the data center. I expect the ideas to rein in memory power consumption will again come from the mobile device world, just as Eskimos are reported, apparently incorrectly, to have 7 words for snow. Mobile memory systems have a large array of low power states with subtly different power dissipations and recovery times. I expect the same techniques will arrive fairly quickly to the server world. ARM processors are used extensively in cell phones and embedded devices. I've written frequently of the possible impact of ARM on the server-side computing world. He links to his prior articles, Linux Apache on ARM processors, ARM Cortex A9 SMP design announced, very low-cost, low-power servers, NVIDIA Project Denver, ARM-powered servers. Reading these articles can be accomplished by following the links in the show notes to the original article and following the links there to the prior blog entries. To continue, ARM remained power efficient while at the same time they are rapidly gaining the performance and features needed to run demanding server-side workloads. A key next step was made late last year when ARM announced the ARM V8 architecture. Key attributes of the new ARM architecture are 64-bit virtual addressing, 40-bit physical addresses, hardware virtualization support. The first implementation of the ARM V8 architecture was announced the same day by Applied Micro Devices, not to be confused with the manufacturer AMD, and editorial comment. The APM design is available in an FPGA implementation for development work this month and is expected to be final in system-on-a-chip form in the second half of 2012. The APM X-Gene offers 64-bit addressing, 3 GHz, up to 128 cores, a superscalar quad-issue processor, CPU and I/O virtualization support, out-of-order processing, 80 GB per second memory throughput, integrated Ethernet and PCIe, full LAMP software stack port. Links in the articles follow for advanced reading on the ARM processor architecture. To continue the article, in the second half of 2012, we will have a very capable 64-bit server-targeted ARM processor implementation available to systems builders. Other headlines in the news. To read these articles, follow the links in the show notes. Canaries in the data mines. Gigabit Wi-Fi chips emerge. Will power super-fast home video streaming. The truth about the economics behind the blacklist bills. News from allgov.com, havanatimes.org, maggiemcneil.wordpress.com, perspectives.mvdorona.com, and thestand.org, used under arranged permission. News from EFF.org and torrentfreak.com, used under permission of the Creative Commons by Attribution License. News sources retain their respective copyrights. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Geek to Me. Here are the vital statistics for this program. Your feedback matters to me. Please send your comments to dg@deepgeek.us. The webpage for this program is at www.talkgeektome.us. You can subscribe to me on Identica as the username DeepGeek, or you could follow me on Twitter. My username there is DGTGTM, as in Deep Geek Talk Geek to Me.
This episode of Talk Geek to Me is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 Unported license. This license allows commercial reuse of the work, as well as allowing you to modify the work, so long as you share alike the same rights you have received under this license.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Geek to Me.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.